Genesis. In fact, it's been quite a while now. We're now in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Last week we looked at that account of Judah and Tamar. In chapter 38, nonetheless, saw God sovereign. And now we're going to look at Joseph and Potiphar's wife, and we're kind of seeing a contrast here, in some sense, in how Judah dealt with temptation and how Joseph is dealing with it. I'll read all of Genesis chapter 39, hear God's holy word. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as he spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand, and fled, and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw he had left his garment in her hand, and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story. The Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me, and he fled out of the house. As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, 'This is why your servant treated me,' his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower fails, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray for God's blessing on his word. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, and we praise you for your word. We know that your word is indeed just that, your word. It is true, and all you say is true. So, Father, we ask for your blessing upon us now, that you would teach us, that you would instruct us, that you would guide and direct us. May your word encourage us where we need it. May it humble us where we need it as well.
that you be honored and glorified. Lord, where we need rebuke as well, we ask that you would give that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are a few sermons into our study in the life of Joseph. And we've seen more than once the providence of God. Now, what do we mean by providence? Well, our shorter catechism defines it this way in question 11. What are the works of providence? God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. Therefore, when we speak of God's providence, we speak of God's sovereignty. We speak of God in control of all things. There is nothing that happens in this world that happens outside of the sovereign control of God. He works all things for the good. Last time we saw God even working in the sin of Judah and Tamar for the good. Not to justify Judah, not to justify Tamar in one bit whatsoever. But the seed to crush the head of the serpent was going to come from the line of Judah. However, Judah's sons, two of his sons, are dead. And he's not going to give Shelah to the third, or the third son, to Tamar, feeling and worried that he'll die as well. Tamar is offended by this, so she dresses up as a prostitute. Judah goes into her, and Judah has twins by his own daughter-in-law. And the amazing thing is that while Judah and Tamar are sinning, God is what? Sovereign behind the scenes. Perez is born, and if you read, as we did last week, the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew, what do you find? Perez is in the line of Christ. He's a great, however many great grandfather of Jesus Christ. God's sovereignty and God's grace. That's not all we've seen. Joseph's brothers hate him. And in their sinful hatred, they sell him into slavery. They not only acted out of hatred for Joseph, they hated the dreams he had, that they're going to bow down before him. Perhaps they even believed that the dreams came from God and they wanted to fight against that. And so, they deceived their father. Joseph's dead, and they sell him into slavery. Thinking, yeah, we'll not bow the knee to Joseph. And what happens? He goes to Egypt. But we know what he's going to later say to his brothers, what you meant for evil. Sin on your part, what you meant for evil, God intended for the good. One of the amazing things about God's sovereignty is that even while fighting against these dreams, Joseph's brothers are doing what? Fulfilling the very plan of God. Because where are they going to bow down to Joseph? In Egypt. How can you not but love the sovereignty of God? Man fights against the Lord and his plan, and the Lord uses that very fighting to accomplish his perfect plan. Our God is an awesome God. That does not make him in any way the author of sin. But he's sovereign. He's over man. He uses all things for the good. Today we're again going to be looking at the providence of God. And we'll see. This time Joseph in Potiphar's house. And in contrast to his brother Judah back in the promised land, Joseph resists sexual temptation. However, I want you to realize that the main point of the passage is not he, like Joseph, resist temptation, or follow Joseph, or be a Joseph. Now, it's true, there is an example for us here to resist temptation, but the main thrust of the passage is not Joseph. The repeated refrain, and I hope you caught it already, is this: the Lord was with Joseph. Lord was with Joseph. In fact, I'm going to bring you through a few verses in the chapter. Verse 2, it says this: the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. And then verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Then verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him steadfast love, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And then verse 23, the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with Joseph. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. So you see, the key to the passage is the Lord is with Joseph. So again, we're going to look at the providence of God. God with Joseph. Despite the fact that Joseph is still falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and falsely in prison, God is with him. God is with us. God with us does not mean the absence of trials. God was with Joseph when his brothers hated him and sold him into slavery. God was with Joseph when he was falsely accused. God was with Joseph when he was sent into prison. God's providence shines through the trials. Have you ever felt like you were treated unfairly? Have you ever felt like living the Christian life, doing the right thing, was not really worth the effort? The experience of Joseph should be an encouragement to us all. Despite all that he went through, God was with him. God was with him. You don't read about Joseph saying, God, where are you in all of this? God was with him. So today, that's what we'll be looking at. The Lord with Joseph. In Potiphar's house, in the midst of temptation, and in prison. Verse 1 reminds us that Joseph was in Egypt. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. Now Joseph's brothers had sold him to some traders who took him to Egypt. They deceived, of course, their father into thinking Joseph was dead. Now Joseph was, in essence, a godly son, and he did what his father said, checking in on his brothers, but his brothers hated him for it. And they got rid of him. And again, we might be tempted to think, is that what you get for behaving in a godly manner? Is that what you get for doing what is right and what is just? Is that what you get for behaving? Sometimes, yes, it is. Jesus did promise that we would be persecuted in the world. John 15, verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. And so persecutions and trials and hardships do not mean God has abandoned me, or he's not with me. Because picture all these hardships of Joseph. The Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him. That repeated refrain, the Lord was with Joseph, and he'd become a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master. Despite what Joseph had suffered, God was with him. And we know he suffered. He suffered greatly. Moses doesn't point it out in such detail here. But Psalm 105, verse 17 says this, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. But God never left him. Joseph is in Potiphar's house now. Later he's going to be in prison. Wherever he is, God by grace is with him. God has not left him in the midst of the trials he's facing. Now, what does it mean that God is with him? Isn't God everywhere? We talk about God being omnipresent. Now, it's true, God is everywhere. He's with Joseph, and he's with his people in a special way. Sometimes we call this his covenantal presence. He's with his people to bless, to provide, to protect. He's with Joseph and all of his people as a father. Because God was with Joseph, Joseph had success. Yes, he was a slave. But we're told here that he was a successful man. That's so clear that God is with him that even Potiphar recognizes this. That's really an incredible thing. Potiphar recognizes this. Verse 3, his master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Now, what's really interesting here is that the name Potiphar literally means he whom Ra, the false sun god, has given. He was named after a false god, recognizes that Joseph's God is with him. Potiphar recognizes that Yahweh is the source of Joseph's welfare. He sees it. He recognizes it. Joseph's a witness of the omnipotence, the all-powerfulness of God. And this leads to a promotion for Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Everything that Potiphar had was put under his hand. Joseph found favor in his sight, attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had from the time that he made him overseer in his house over all that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. Because of him, he had no concern of anything but food he ate. How do you like that? He had no concern about anything except for the food he ate. What was his only concern? For him. Joseph took care of everything. God blessed Potiphar's house because of it. In fact, that ought to remind you of something, shouldn't it, from the book of Genesis? God blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. Well, what was Abraham told in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3? I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Here's Potiphar being blessed. Not Ra, but the Lord is the providential ruler of the world. God in his providence shows favor to Joseph. Even in his labor as a slave, he's separated from his family, he's hated by his brothers, he's sold into a strange land, but even in the strange land, God is with him. And Joseph's a strong man, and yet, what do we see? He's not laboring out in the field under crack of whip. He's in the house of Potiphar, promoted. Keep in that house. And think ahead of what's to come as well. We know that Joseph is later going to serve Pharaoh as a steward. The Lord is preparing him for that work. The Lord is preparing him and putting him in a place where he's going to be able to save his people from that famine that's going to come. What his brothers meant for people, God meant for good. And God is with Joseph. Look what happens next. There's another big trial, another hardship that Joseph has to go through. We're told about Joseph's looks in verse 6. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, setting us up for what's about to come. Joseph, this big, handsome, strong guy, caught the eye of Mrs. Potiphar, and she wants to have an affair with Joseph. She demands that he lie with her. And not only that, this is something that she does repeatedly or daily. Verse 10. As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. She is relentless in her pursuit of him. She does not give up. It's a day after day thing. However, Joseph keeps turning her down. By the way, those who believe that it's the guys who always lust and not the girls need to read this passage. In verses 8 and 9, we see Joseph's response to Mrs. Potiphar. He refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Now, there are basically three reasons here that Joseph gives for not going along with this affair. The first, he says, "My master does not know what is with me in the
cups. He's committed everything to my kingdom. In essence, he's saying, my master trusts me so much, I don't have a supervisor. For many people, that'd be the green light to go ahead. I'm not being supervised. He's not going to notice. He's not going to find out. But Joseph, this isn't a reason to give in to temptation. He doesn't want to ruin the trust that he had placed in him. Second, he says in verse 9, there's no one greater in this house but I, nor has he kept anything back from me except for you. Second reason he's not going to give in to this affair is that his master has given him everything. Everything except for Mrs. Potiphar. Do you know what that reminds me of? Does that remind you guys of anything yet? Adam and Eve in the garden. You eat from any tree that is in the garden. Except the one, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve ate. Joseph says, no, look what he's put in my care of, look what I have, he's given me everything. I'm not going to take the one thing he hasn't given me, his life. Perhaps many would take the argument here and use it together. Well, he holds back his wife. Why not take her as well? But the third reason is the ultimate and the real reason that Joseph is not going to have an affair with Mrs. Potiphar. It's sin. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, some might be tempted to say, wait a second, would that be a sin against Potiphar? It's Potiphar's wife. Why does Joseph say, I'm not going to sin against God? He doesn't say, I'm not going to sin against Potiphar, my master. He says, I'm not going to sin against God. That's because sin is always against God. What makes sin sin? Isn't that it harms somebody else? What makes sin sin? It is a violation of the law of God. That's what sin is. Sin is ultimately against God. It's a violation of God's law. And so even something like committing adultery, against God. Yes, somebody else is going to be hurt by that, but this is a violation of the law of God, and that's what makes sin serious. Psalm 51, verse 4. David, after committing adultery with Bathsheba and murdering Uriah, says, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. And what makes something wrong? That it's a violation of God's law. R.C. Sproul has called sin cosmic treason. Because it's a violation against him who created us, he who's given us his law. That's what sin is. And Joseph's resistance is no small thing. He faced this trial day after day. And what could he have done? Couldn't just go out and get another job. He's in essence a slave. He couldn't file a complaint for sexual harassment with the Department of Labor. There was no such thing. Some might be saying, well, why not tell Potiphar? Who's Potiphar going to believe? Joseph and his wife. So here's where the chapters with rain is so important. The Lord is with Joseph. How do we resist temptation? Not on our own strength, but only through Christ and His Spirit. Potiphar's wife is relentless. She tries, in one sense, to force it. One day, verse 11, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled out of the house. She obviously wasn't trying to physically overpower him. That wasn't going to happen. But perhaps she thought that physical grab of his garment, maybe that'd be enough to tempt him. And what's Joseph's reaction? He flees. verse 13. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house. The New Testament tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. What did Joseph do? He fled, literally fled. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Joseph literally does it. We ought not toy around with any sin. We ought not toy around with sexual sin. But flee. That's what Joseph does. It was Shakespeare who said, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, nor having a rage like love to hate in return. This woman who once desired love, Joseph, now hates her. She feels scorned, she's furious, and she's going to let him have it. When Joseph fled, we read that he left his garment behind. She grabbed it, and he just let it fall off, and he went. And we can already picture what's coming up. Oh no, his garment again. Very garment, or a garment, another garment was used to deceive his father. And now this garment is going to be used to deceive Potiphar. The smoking gun there, look. He robed himself. Look what he left here. Look what he was trying to do. This is what Mrs. Potiphar said. He called on the men of her household and said to them, see, he's brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. As soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story. Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came into me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house. The story sounds believable. So we read verse 19, as soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, this is the way your servant treated me. His anger was kindled. And we might ask, right? Is that what you get for doing what's right? Sometimes in this world, yes. Jesus said, don't be surprised by the persecution you face. But it is surprising that Joseph was not immediately executed for this crime. He's a foreigner, and he is assaulted, tried to rape, according to Potiphar's wife's claim, her. And yet he's still alive. There are some who say that Potiphar was probably not fully convinced of his wife's story, since Joseph had been so trusted. Since Potiphar had to do something, he imprisoned him instead. Now we're not told whether that's the case or not, but here again, what do we see? The Lord was with Joseph. God was working his plan, bringing Joseph to the point where he's going to be not merely in Potiphar's house, he's going to be in Pharaoh's house. He's going to interpret dreams that a famine is coming. So there's going to be years of prosperity, then there's going to be years of famine, and he's going to be able to set aside grain that's going to provide for Egypt and for his family, which was God's intent from the beginning. God was with him. That's why Joseph's alive. God had a plan. What an awesome God. But put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a minute. What's going through Joseph's mind? Well, we're not told. We don't know. This is the second time that he's been taken prisoner for being faithful. I did what was right, and now I'm in jail. With his brothers, I did what was right, and they want to kill me, and they throw me in a cistern. How would you feel in such a situation? Why, God, why are you with me? God was working out his plan. There are many today, I told you even this morning, many today will say, do you really have faith if you're really godly.
And these kinds of things aren't going to happen to you. You're not going to suffer affliction. You're not going to have persecution. You're not going to be sick. You're not going to be this or that. So contrary to all of Scripture. When trials come our way, we often ask, where is God? Why is this happening? Well, we should be asking something. God, what are you doing by this? How are you working this? What am I to learn from this? How am I to grow in this?
Yet we are tempted, aren't we? When we serve the Lord and things fall apart, we want to ask why. But again, Jesus said, "The servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." Just because God is with us doesn't mean everything goes all nice and fine. How many Christians do you know? You really got to know them that have never had a trial. That's why James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." God works in those for our good. God was going to work and was working in Joseph's life. We then see Joseph in prison. As the chapter began, so it ends with that refrain, "The Lord was with him." But the Lord was with Joseph, showed him steadfast love, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. God hadn't abandoned Joseph. Even in prison, he had the position of authority as a prisoner. God was with him. God had blessed him. God had not abandoned him. God does not, will not ever abandon those who are his. This had to be a hard time in the life of Joseph. Accused of rape. And you see God with him. Brothers and sisters, don't ever doubt that you're in Christ. Don't ever doubt the presence of God with his people. He passed through the waters. He will be with you. You go through the fire. And not open the door. Praise God for his grace to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for your sovereign control over all things. We praise you, Father, that you never leave those who belong to you, that in the midst of trials and afflictions you are with us. Lord, strengthen us to live for you, to trust that in the midst of affliction. Lord, strengthen us that we might fight temptations that come our way. Lord, work in us that your name be honored and glorified. We do pray.